sexy, spooky bones.
Hello and welcome to the Skeleton Boys, a horror movie podcast. I'm Rolando.
And I am John.
That's it. Thank you. And welcome to the show. This week we're reviewing Borderline. As always, John will give us the plot in five words. We'll give our first thoughts. And then we'll go to a deep spoiler analysis. But do you remember watching, what did we watch? Cloud in the Cornfield. Final Destination, Bloodlines. Not Borderline, yes. Bloodlines. Do you remember watching Come True?
Yes. And Blood Ride.
Blood Ride.
There you go. That's all we want to say. We're promoting Blood Ride to eventually get a second season.
If you want to hear us talk about any of those movies, check the feed, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or your podcatcher of choice. We have some...
Not YouTube.
Stay off YouTube. We have wild takes in all those movies. Wild. But
And we are not owned by Skydance.
Not by Skydance. Alrighty. Bloodline. John, do you want to give us the plot in five words?
Oh, shit, for Bloodline. Hold on.
From Borderline, whatever.
No, we're doing it. Hold on.
Let me redo that. Editor, fix this.
Johnny. Five words. Plot summary.
Rolando, drum roll, please.
Coming in at number three, a simple sacrifice fucks everyone.
That's good. That's a good one.
Yeah. Coming in at number three for Borderline, aspiring actor chokes before audition.
Interesting.
Coming in at number two for Borderline, some parts are really lit.
That one didn't immediately catch me, but I'm sure it makes sense. So,
it's especially lit when they're in the recording booth.
Oh, okay.
Coming in at number one for Borderline, Eric takes stab at security.
There you go. That's it. Alrighty. Borderline horror movie is what we're...
Borderline a horror movie is what we should say.
I think it's about...
Through line, a dark comedy.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, that's a whole separate conversation. Because tone-wise, yes, it inspires to be a dark comedy. But in premise... a celebrity that gets kidnapped by a crazed fan, that's horror.
And quite obviously in 1994, quite obviously Los Angeles, California, quite obviously in California, United States, obviously.
You know what really unlocked the movie for me is that...
you recognized every single area of this. Obviously, it's Los Angeles, California, United States.
True. That's true. That this premise is about a real life stalker case about... Madonna had a stalker who went, he used to go up to her door and then said, I will kill myself, you know, if I don't talk to Madonna, threatened himself with a knife and stuff.
Somebody told me that, like, no joke, I was talking about this movie Borderline. They're like, oh, is it about the Madonna thing? I was like, what?
Yeah. It's called Borderline, which is one of Madonna's big songs.
And that's 100%. I was like, I watched a movie called Borderline. They're like, oh, does this song by Madonna come out in it? I'm like, what are you talking about? And I'm like, oh, you remember Madonna had a stalker? I was like, what? And no joke, folks at home, it was not Rolando. It was literally somebody else. I was like, what are you talking about? And now I feel like an idiot.
I didn't know that either watching it. I was just excited about Samara Weaving and wanted to see more of Ray Nicholson, who had a small part, important part in Smile 2, right? Was it Smile 2? Yes, Smile 2.
Smile 2, yeah. And...
which you can also hear on our feed about what we thought about it. Wild takes.
And the soundtrack.
Wild, yeah.
More importantly... and also, of course, Eric Dane, which I'm assuming this is going to be one of the last roles we see him act in.
Why?
Because he's got ALS. Aggressively.
Right.
He only has mobility of, I think, his left arm, and that was months ago. And he said that was going pretty quickly as well, but he's still in good spirits. But it was nice to see him.
Right. Same. Good to see him in this, too. Even in, I would say he had a pretty straight laced part, but it seemed unusually disconnected, his part, right? Yes. It seemed like a little bit like maybe we like him in the movie, so we're going to shoot around him and shoot what he can do. Did you catch that? Did you feel?
That's 100% what it felt like. Yeah, like he wasn't moving a whole lot and everything, right?
I know that's a really like probably tasteless thing to talk about in a movie review, but it's very, to me anyways, I don't know how you felt, but like it was very present in it. Especially like the opening scene of this movie. Like I thought like it was something kind of odd about it, not in a good way, but like just kind of this very stagey, kind of just dropped you in on Eric Dane's character Bell answering the door and the sort of Paul, the Ray Nicholson.
Very calm. And like I said, he's just not doing a whole lot of movements.
Right. It's a little like, he's a little... The whole setup is weird because he's like clearly Paul, the character or whatever, has been through this a bunch, and then Belle's kind of just going through the motions with him, and then like he pulls the knife out and then he ends up stabbing Eric Dane, Belle's character. And I just thought it just the whole thing was weird. And then it cuts to like...
It's important to note that they also make it seem like Paul's character is under the assumption he is talking to Sophia.
Mm-hmm.
So you get that sort of psychotic break. I don't know.
It's important for later in the movie. Yeah.
Just to mention it. Mm-hmm. And also just to mention, it's a good thing Ray Nicholson is actually very talented, because I think people are getting a little bit tired of hearing that Hollywood's full of Nepo babies now.
Oh, really? Who's he related to?
Some guy named Nickel, because I guess he's his son, Nickel's son.
I don't know. Who's
like
a famous actor?
Nicholas Cage. Nicholson Cage. Maybe. Ray Nicholson, as we all know, is Jack Nicholson's son.
Oh. I don't know. That makes sense.
I don't know about legitimacy. Seems a little young.
Well, he's a little old. Jack Nicholson's officially old now.
Oh, he's super. Yeah, born in the 40s old, right? No, 30s, I think.
Yeah.
I don't know. Mm-hmm. Whatever. Yeah, he's actually pretty good. I was like, all right, he's doing good.
He's a good actor. Yeah. Can't complain.
Yeah.
Like, at no point did I feel like...
And I always defend...
Go ahead. No.
Oh, I was going to say, I always defend Samara Weaving. Because from what I understand, Hugo Weaving had no idea that she wanted to be an actor.
Well, yeah.
Like, no, like, had no clue. Yeah. It didn't help her at all. Like, she just tried to make her...
Samara Weaving is maybe one of the most underutilized actors in Hollywood. Like, she's really good.
My favorite scream queen of... today.
Yeah. Yeah. And I feel like, I just feel like, and she's starring in so many movies and she's really good in all of them. And she elevates these other movies that she's in. So it's kind of a disfortunate that she was like in that one Scream movie and she dies, right? When they go back to New York, or when they go to New York. I guess it was the last Scream movie. She plays the first victim.
I guess it was. She plays the first victim, and then very quickly the Ghostface killer gets killed immediately after
that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, which was...
But I'm guessing if she had stayed in the franchise, we wouldn't have gotten Azrael, which was a fucking great movie.
A great movie, so yeah.
I'm okay with that.
Yeah. So I think I would say overall, I'm pretty mixed on the movie. And I think part of it has to be, I didn't like the tone of this movie. Like
it, I feel like it had something that could have been really good.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And then it was just kind of all over the place.
Yeah. Like it's...
We didn't really follow anybody's story.
Yes, I agree.
And we know literally nothing about Sophia. By the end of the movie,
just
she was wildly underutilized.
Yeah, it kind of feels like maybe the movie's more about Belle and him recovering and retiring, and you know what I mean. But it's not about him, you know.
And then it kind of feels like it wants to be about Rhodes, mm-hmm. Jimmy Fells' character.
And relationship with...
And then it's not, goes away
Sophia,
from him.
Sophia, yeah.
Yeah.
And that kind of falls apart. The obvious thing was like, okay, well, maybe we'll have to take more of a POV from like Ray Nicholson's character, Paul. But that kind of like is not really happens. And then you think, okay, well, it's about Samara Weaving. But it's like, Sophia's kind of like you said, very like not a very... there's not much there in terms of like her character development.
No, she's kind of barely in the movie to begin with.
Right. She kind of doesn't pop up till maybe 15, 20 minutes in. She kind of pops up because a lot of the...
And then like briefly, because then it becomes about Paul, Penny, and what's the...
I'm assuming it's J.H.
Right.
By the way, I really liked the actress that played Penny. I thought she was excellent. I felt like she knew what movie she was in, in her time in the movie. I felt like she knew what movie she was in, and she was like really making the most of the screen time. So I was quite impressed.
What I wanted, though, and nothing against her for if she was trying, I thought there was going to be like a big reveal where she's like, oh, I'm, you know, having a psychotic break. The truth is I'm not French. I was waiting for that, but because the accent was like blatantly kind of over the top.
Yeah. Right? Like, yeah, I almost wanted to see more from this character than what we got, because I was quite enjoyed the performance. But yeah, I mean, that's kind of like, that's kind of was it, right? I mean, just basically like this guy who has this big elaborate plan to get revenge, because I'm assuming he went to jail. It's another like Dr. Giggles thing. Paul? Yeah. Right. Where did he go?
No, no. He escaped from a psych ward. And then Penny and J.H. also left that same.
So it's Dr. Giggles again. Like, yeah.
Basically. Yeah. And I don't think it's him trying to get revenge. I think at the end he has like some dialogue that suggests you see towards the end. Is this a spoiler? I don't know. Like that he's imagining things that aren't happening.
Right.
Like there's whole sequences that aren't happening, but you know that he's seeing these things.
Well, that gets
that he thinks that they got in a fight and he was like, I need to take time off. But that's when they locked him up.
Yeah. I kind of feel like that's the that's like kind of the big like one thing they wanted to put them in their shoes, which I thought was like kind of an effort from the director and the writer, was because it's kind of like when people say like, oh, famously like, oh, the dog told me to do it, or like to kill John Lennon, or you know what I mean? Like any kind of like weird scenario where you have people, psychotic people try to claim like either they're talking to God or the devil, or this thing made me do it. They are, this movie tries to put you in his shoes, his point of view, right? Like what he might be experiencing to an extent. I think it half works, like what they do with that, you know? But the point gets across, though. It's not like confused or anything. It's just, I don't know how effective it was.
It's just a little fast. And again, like there wasn't any focus on one character or the other. So it almost feels like this was intended to be like a TV series or something.
Right. Or like, what's a good way to like, in the 90s, they made all these movies kind of like everything's kind of like post Tarantino, you know, everybody's been trying to rip that off. It kind of felt like that a bit, where it's like we're going to add humor, but we're going to have like these big sequences of violence in it. It kind of seemed like it was like,
I thought you were going to say it was kind of reminiscent of like a faux John Hughes movie, in the sense of like there are all these characters that the writer director really wants you to get to know, but it doesn't really work out all that well because you don't get enough information about anybody.
Right. Yeah.
Like Eric Dane's character, you get a little information, but because it's being forced out by his daughter that's involved also. Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Yeah. The daughter thing was kind of
in like a very stretched kind of way. Like she gets what kidnapped because she was in a music video in the far back. Like, I don't know. I didn't understand
either. Yeah. A lot of that stuff just seems like very cookie cutter, not thought out. Like we're putting this here.
We cast six people in this movie. We're going to make sure they're in the end.
She's like there because we need empathy for Belle, right? We need empathy that he's.
Yeah.
It's like they almost want to go as far as to like not say like, oh, this is my last job I'm ever going to do. And then I'm going to retire. It's kind of like he's like a cop who like, you know, I feel like they go right up to that line and then they're like. You know, he's like the grizzled security guard.
Yeah, I'm getting too old
for this shit. I felt like they went right up to that and then, you know, half measured it. Like a lot of this movie's half.
Yeah. Shed had a scene where he's talking to Sophia and she's like, I need you to do this one last job. He's like, all right, one last job, but then I'm out. I love my daughter.
Yeah.
And my babysitter, my nanny. Because mom has passed away, I think. I don't know.
I almost feel like, yeah, like even Samara weeping Sophia, it's just like Sophia, but we don't get a real sense of who or what she does. I have
no idea who she was.
Yeah, like
there's like a few moments where you're like, oh, let's have some empathy for her. I'm like, but why though? Like it almost feels like the whole scene is trying to tell you like, now empathize with what?
Yeah, just, oh, she's a celebrity with a stalker.
Yeah.
Okay.
She seemed like a douchebag, right?
Yeah.
Because the Rhodes character kind of calls her out for that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I couldn't get a sense like what type of movie she made, or like there's no like fun poking fun mockumentary style, like we're making fun of this, you know, like type of movie.
It's also one of the first times I was confused as to what nationality Samara Weaving was supposed to be.
Australian Angelino. This is what they were going for.
Well, because at one point after somebody pointed out the Madonna thing, I was like, are they poking fun at Madonna having a fake ass British accent now?
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know. It might have been, but you know.
No, yeah.
Because we've heard Samara Weaving do an American accent. She's excellent at it.
Yeah. So, like, that's why it was weird.
And this one, it was kind of like, what's going on here? Yeah.
Maybe they just couldn't decide on set, like, let's do half accent, half California girl or something. Let's find...
You know, just because, you know, you're in the Hollywood Hills. We only know that because at one point, Belle's character says, oh, we need to get to this, like, church. And he's like, God, I fucking hate the hills. I'm like, oh, okay, because they're in Los Angeles.
The three people laughed at.
Which everybody at home, I'm being facetious. This was, like, obviously not L.A. But they kept, like, superimposing CGI images of, like, the Hollywood sign, which there is no vantage point at all in L.A. that can give you those buildings in the Hollywood sign.
Yeah, well, they also were trying to invoke the 90s L.A., right? Because setting and stuff. But yeah, this was, and I'm looking it up, by the way, it was shot in Vancouver. So yeah, 100%, yeah, 100%. Yeah.
Like, there's no, yeah,
there's no way of faking how much they tried to make old Los Angeles looking, you know.
Well, that, and also I think they're particularly careful about which angles they shot.
Mm.
And then a lot of it looks super computer generated, and I'm like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
Anyway, but that's enough about
it. I mean, that's a good observation. Yeah.
Gatekeepy, like, this isn't L.A.
Yeah, I mean, not a lot of people.
I know my shithole. Just kidding.
Not a lot of people can shoot in L.A. anymore. So.
That's true. Yeah.
Or want to. Or have incentives to. But yeah. Anything else?
What else comes out in this movie?
Else you want to add before we get into spoilers? Or?
No, I'm curious as to what the spoilers are.
Well, what did you review? What did you think of Ray Nicholson and his plan here to his Paul's character?
I think it was like it's very like he's the Joker, Penny's Harley Quinn, and then JH is like the Solomon Grundy. Like they all escape from Arkham Asylum. I don't mean to relate everything to DC Comics, but it just feels very like that's what the whole thing was.
So who do you think Eric Dane is? Was he? I think he's voiced Batman before, by the way.
I'm pretty sure he has too. Or at the very least, Superman.
At the very least, yeah. Is he playing more of like an Aquaman type, or like Wildcat, or
maybe like Wildcat? Yeah, a little bit of Wildcat would be a bodyguard.
Yeah, I can see that. Like he would. Yeah. Yeah. Agree. I thought the performance was good by Ray Nicholson. I just, like I said, like I didn't like care for the movie he was in. Does that make sense?
Like, yeah, because it felt like Ray Nicholson and the lady that played Penny were in a different movie.
Yes. Yeah, I agree with that. Okay. All right, let's go to spoilers.
Wait! No, stop talking, guys. Stop the podcast. Stop. Please stop the podcast. Because we're about to go into...
spoilers. Okay, Eric Dane doesn't die, no matter how many times they try to kill him in the movie. I think it's only twice, but...
That seemed like a lot, because I was like, when that moment happened, I was like, oh shit, it actually caught my attention. I actually was like, my head, I mean, nobody can see this, but my head went up. I was like, okay, what's going on?
Yeah.
And immediately I started thinking like, well, how the fuck are they gonna... I mean, I know Eric Dane's more in this movie. He has to be. It's just not gonna end, knock him off like 10 minutes, 15 minutes in the movie.
And then it wasn't clear what the way it was set up. I thought maybe like we were going into the past, because the way the movie starts is Ray Nicholson is getting married. He's trying to marry Sophia, who's the love of his life, but he's, you know, mentally unstable. So I thought that whole sequence was, he's like, let's start from the beginning, or let's start whatever part. And he stabs Eric Dane at the beginning of the movie.
Right.
And then I thought, like, because it turns into like this other guy is coming to the front gate. Eric Dane's body's not there anymore.
He has that line, right?
So is this the past?
He has that line, right, where it's like, I hate when movies start at the end or some shit, right? And then let's start at the beginning. And then he goes through his first encounter with Belle. I didn't like that either. I thought it was a little disjointed. Like, to me, it didn't really add anything.
It took me like maybe 10 minutes to realize that this was a year later or 2 years later or something, or whatever amount of time. It's undisclosed.
Yeah. Like I said, I think that whole beginning is awkward. I don't think it works. It's a little clunky in its delivery. Not sure what it was trying to invoke or like tell me. You know, it's a very like confusing message. Like, an opening scene should like immediately set you in the tone and like what you're watching and what to expect for the rest of the movie. And this movie, to me, was just like kind of jumped around and didn't really like firmly set in what the movie was about, like this kidnapping and the people involved with it.
Yeah, and I gotta say, the cinematography was like mid. Mm-hmm. So there wasn't really anything enticing me with anything. Like, that whole opening sequence was very felt very point and shoot.
Mm-hmm. I agree, because it's literally just happening in front of the doorway. That was, to me, another awkward thing. Like, this covers, like, why is, like, even if he's just like security guard, why is he not feeling more threatened? Why is he not calling police? Why is there only him? Why this person's clearly famous would have more than one security guard? And this fan walks up to the door and does this. It just
got past the front security.
It just seemed kind of weird. It was just like the setup of it. And then, yeah, they do the fake out death where like JH is blind in one eye. And of course, he shoots him, but doesn't kill him because he's blind in one eye. Ha ha.
His depth perception's
off. So he thought he shot him. They do a cutaway thinking, oh, well, Eric Dane's dead, which was weird. Yeah, but he isn't. He comes back and kind of helps save the day.
Oh, another thing. I hate to point this out, but I need to because it bugged me. I think, and this is going to sound like I'm going off on something else, but it will come full circle. I think Billy Idol's entire discography
sucks.
Like 90% of it is garbage.
Yeah, I agree.
But then there's like 10% like, hey, these are bangers. These are like fucking classic or always going to be great songs.
Name them.
They try to do like a cover of Dancing With Myself at the beginning of the movie. I was like, this is not it. I'm sure Billy Idol is not expensive.
He's spinning in his grave.
He's still alive. He's not. but anyway, yeah, I just had to point that out because I was like, man, this is not a good cover.
No, yeah, I didn't think it was either.
Otherwise, yeah, this movie, I didn't hate it. I feel like I've been telling people like, yeah, you should check it out. It's not bad. It's funny when it is funny.
Well, my favorite sequence in the movie is when Penny kills the security guard. I thought that was like the most frenetic, you know, violent, and it had like a lot of like action in it. I was like, well, this is cool. This whole set piece where she's killing the front security guard of the house, I thought was really excellent.
And the only reason she is eliminated from the movie is because she's like egging Sophia on to kill her.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Otherwise, she would have lived.
Yeah.
My other favorite sequence is the Rhodes character killing J.H. That was fucking funny, mm-hmm. which is wild when I explain Rhodes pops up out of nowhere after being stabbed. You think he's dead and slits JH's throat open. And he's like the very tall lumbering guy. He kind of looks like the powerlifter Brian Shaw a bit. And it's just funny because you can tell like immediately he was like, I don't think I meant to do that. And it was just like disgusting. And everyone's like, what the fuck? There's like blood squirting on everybody, right? I don't know. It's funny.
Yeah.
That poor guy. It's the two main like good guy dudes really go through it in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
But otherwise, yeah, I don't know. This movie wasn't bad. It's just a lot of it was not terribly interesting. And again, it can't really focus on anybody, so you don't really get to know anybody's story, really.
Right.
I don't know.
I agree with that. I feel like
what else would you want from it though? Like, whose story would you really want to know about?
Oh, that's a good question. Probably just Sophia's. Let's focus on one. Like, I felt like Eric Dane kind of plays the characters a little on the cliche side. So I would have liked to have gotten to know the Sophia character. Like, what is she famous for? Even if they leaned into like the Madonna inspiration, that would have been more fun than what we got. Or even if she was like an actress or something.
One comment I got was that this is actually a prequel to Smile 2.
Yeah, they could definitely be that. But yeah, it just lacked focus. Like, it like It's not really a horror movie. It's not really like a thriller. It tries to be like comedy at times, but it doesn't work. So, and
it's just like a dark comedy.
And I think it does, by the end of this movie, I think it takes itself too seriously overall. So I don't know. It's some movies are great because they're just like, oh, this is a fun ride. Like this, like, don't, yeah. There's probably plot holes or there's probably other things that don't make sense, but whatever. We're just here for the ride. But I feel like that was the tone.
And again, it starts with Ray Nicholson and it ends with Ray Nicholson in his delusion.
Right. Do you want to explain that just real quick?
Well, it's like the beginning is him. He's like, this is the happiest day of my life, but I hate when movies start at the end. Ultimately, what happens is they, like I said, it's important to note that when he's talking to Belle at the beginning of the movie, before he stabs him, he has, because he's not mentally stable, he switches gears and starts to believe he's talking to Sophia and stabs her. But it's not her. It's actually Belle, right? It's Eric Dane's character.
Right.
And then at the end, when... he runs into Rhodes' character and believes that it's Sophia. And when actual Sophia Samaro even pops up, he's like, hey, lady, this isn't about you. It's not your day. Can you please sit down? Like, unaware that he's talking to Sophia.
Mm-hmm.
So he ends up marrying Rhodes.
Because gay marriage is funny, John.
Who, yeah.
It's hilarious.
Who, for whatever reason, is in drag like most of the movie. Except for,
hilarious. Men in drag. Hilarious.
Yeah. I don't know what the joke is.
Some like it hot, they say. Type vibes. Yeah.
He stabs Rhodes instead of Sophia, and then that's where, if that hadn't had happened, Rhodes wouldn't have been able to get up and kill JH, and then it's kind of like nothing gets resolved, really. It's like they're just gonna
let's just happily ever after. Yeah,
he's like, it's the happiest day of his life. He doesn't understand that he's going back to the psych ward, but what's gonna happen? He's just gonna get out again, right? Like, I don't,
yeah, clearly, like every other villain in Batman's rogue gallery, yes, they all end up escaping Arkham,
yeah,
it just kind of just wrap up nicely where she's like, oh, I'm Eric Dane's Belle is like, oh, I'm going to retire and I'm still a rich pop star movie actress.
Yeah. And Sophia's like, maybe I will date a guy I know.
Big stakes in this movie. Big important stakes.
Yeah. Like, yeah.
No. Yeah. Yeah.
It's like, and then the Rhodes character says something like, no, I don't think so. You think, no, we can't. And she's like, oh, why? And he's like, because I'm a married man. Ha, 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 ha.
They jump in the air, freeze frame.
Yeah, exactly. I was like, all right, this movie can end now.
Yeah. All right. Well, that was kind of it.
Yeah. It wasn't the worst movie I've ever seen. I didn't think it was bad. I was just like, eh.
But clearly enough to where we can make fun of it.
There's going
to
be people.
But clearly enough to where we can make fun of it. Because it wasn't for us. But I mean, people would like. Go ahead.
I was going to say, I think there's going to be a group of people that are really going to enjoy this.
I would love to meet them. If you find any of those people.
They're at Arkham
Asylum. Enigma or Edward.
Yeah. Enigma. World's greatest detective. They made him seem like such an idiot in those movies.
Joe Schumacher, nah.
Amazing director's commentary, right? Or like, he's trying to explain things with Arnold, and then halfway through the movie, Joel Schumacher's like, yeah, and here's where, I'm sorry, guys. I'm sorry. You know, sometimes you do things and it just doesn't go the way you think it's going to go. I take full responsibility. This movie's my fault. I'm sorry. Do you remember
that? Yes, yeah.
That's what he said in the director's commentary. He's like, yeah, I'm sorry about that too. Yeah.
Now, I know he's RIP, but... did he ever apologize for St. Elmo's fire? Sorry, did he just... I just like that.
No, we don't think about it because he did Lost Boys, right?
So oh, there you go. You just always go back to Lost Boys. It's like... I just like that. That became the conversation of the night. That about St. Elmo's fire.
During my birthday beers.
Birthday beers, yeah.
Yeah.
How George was going off on the St. Elmo's fire.
Yeah, St. Elmo's fire was so.
I wish I could have like played devil advocate and said I really liked the movie, and then what would have happened? It would have been so much fun.
Couldn't even go that far.
Yeah.
Something I didn't mention then is, funny enough, the only reason I saw St. Elmo's Fire was because I confused it with the movie Backdraft. I thought it was the same movie.
Kind of is.
And as I was watching, I was like, I don't remember any of this.
Yeah, that's good. Anyways, do you have any other thoughts before you rate the movie?
No. Sorry, it's a short movie.
They don't know that. Don't let them look at it at the time.
Just keeps.
This is good time.
I mean, I think you could listen to this and get a sense of what the movie is instead of spending another 45 minutes in the movie.
Oh, I got a funny story real quick before we rate the movie. So I was looking for it on Peacock. I could not find it. I was like, what the fuck? Could not find it. So I was like, fuck, I'm just going to rent it. I literally rented it and I was like, bit the bullet. I rented it, watched it, whatever. So then I go, so lately I've been rewatching Parks and Rec. So I was like, you know what? Before I go to work, I'm going to fucking watch some Parks and Rec episodes. So as soon as I click on it, it goes back to where the search was and the results in the first movie was Borderline. I was like, what the fuck? This is like I paid $5 for this movie for like no reason. Yeah.
Maybe that skewed your opinion on the movie because I didn't pay for it. Yeah, I didn't. I was like, yeah, it was okay.
I feel like I had a measured,
measured
response to it. I think. I don't know.
Yeah, but I feel like if I had paid for it, I would have been a little more critical, I think.
Fucking yeah, throwing chairs and eating meat and whatever.
Fucking Nepo babies.
Right. All right, John, how many sexy spooky bones do you want to give it?
Just rate the movie. I'm going to give Borderline 4.5 sexy spooky bones.
Okay. Yeah. I want to go. I'll just do a 5. That's just fine. I thought it was okay.
Because I don't know if it's got rewatchability. It almost does. It almost does. But I think if like I was skimming through something, I'm like, oh, there's that movie.
Do you want
to? What else is on?
Do you want to try something? Do you want to just right now go into our calendar and in 1 year we'll watch this movie again on September 7th?
September 7th, 2020.
It's a Labor Day, actually. It's actually Labor Day. That's perfect. We probably will be off from our jobs.
I mean, hopefully I'll have a job.
I'm going to put watch. This is really happening, guys. Borderline. Add. There you go. We probably are going to have to rent it. More than likely. But let's revisit it. Let's make a commitment right now in front of our pod family that we're going to rewatch this movie.
I put the alert at like from 6:30 to 7:00.
You gotta watch it early, knock it out.
No. Yeah. Just get it over.
Yeah.
I know what I'm watching. I saw it again.
All right. We'll tell you in 1 year's time what we thought of Borderline. We're probably gonna have the same opinions of having to spend more money on it. Yeah. But all right, guys, gals, non-binary pals, thank you for listening. And as always,
stay spooky.